1056.
Authorize a request for proposal for a new tax administration software in the revenue division.
I'm stalling for a minute because I realize this is an emergency item and I need a fourth. Legal counsel, can I begin with three? It's the vote that requires four. Is that correct?
That's correct, ma'am.
Very good. Colleagues, the revenue system replacement is needed. Our current systems are aging. They don't meet modern-day expectations, and they're rapidly approaching the end of their useful life. We anticipate being out of support within 3 years. The Integrated Tax System Project is a top priority for the Office of Management and Finance, OMF, and aligns with OMF's 3-year strategic plan, specifically with the goal to, quote, adopt 21st century business solutions, unquote. This project also aligns with the goals in both the citywide IT strategic plan as well as the Portland plan. The largest benefits of this project are improved customer service on multiple fronts, more modern and less risky support structures, and increased revenue collection for the general fund. The revenue system replacement is needed. Systems are aging, don't meet modern-day expectations, and are rapidly approaching the end of their useful life. We anticipate... I already read that paragraph. That's clever. Authorizing this ordinance allows us to issue the RFP. This will enable the revenue to gather more, will allow revenue to gather more information and continue planning this critical project. And I'm sorry for my sloppy editing skills. Thank you and welcome for being here.
Thank you very much, Mayor Wheeler. I'm Thomas Lanham. I'm the Director of the Revenue Division of the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. And joining me is Rochelle Gorsegner, our Integrated Tax System Project Manager. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the history, about how we got here, and then Rochelle will walk you through a very brief PowerPoint slide presentation to kind of let you know where we're going in terms of this RFP. So for the past 33 years, revenue has had a pretty good run in terms of homegrown and home-maintained custom in-house solutions for our tax administration. In 1985, we had a mainframe application called VAX that was used to track very limited and basic taxpayer information. In 1998, we replaced VAX with the current business license information system. And this platform, which is now 20 years old, is reaching the end of its life and going out of support in as little as 3 years. In 2012, the Revenue Division received approval from the IRS to receive federal taxpayer information. Following several years of planning and follow-on work with the IRS to gain additional approvals, we received our first federal taxpayer information in 2015. So for the first time in the history of the program, this gave us a real insight into local taxpayers, individuals and businesses in terms of what they were reporting to the IRS. And we use this data to administer our local taxes and, in particular, to locate taxpayers who have either not paid their taxes to Portland or Multnomah County or have underpaid them. And while we have federal taxpayer information and we are using it to identify taxpayers, we're using it very inefficiently because of the very intensive physical and IT security requirements that the IRS has regarding safeguarding FTI. So to put a number on it, only 6 of our current 70 employees have access to federal taxpayer information, and really all of them could benefit from using that information. So we're using FTI, but we're using it very inefficiently. Access to FTI has exposed weaknesses in our homegrown solutions around scalability and effectiveness, and these issues are leading to the loss of revenue because we cannot fully utilize FTI with our current systems. To address these shortcomings and others, we requested and received City Council approval in fiscal year 2017-2018 to launch the Integrated Tax System Project, ITS, to explore the replacement of our databases. And this would not just be the business license information system that I spoke of, but all of our platforms, the transient lodging tax, the hotel motel tax, the arts tax, and other applications, all would be replaced with one sweeping commercial off-the-shelf solution. And I would remind the council that those programs, in sum, arts, transient lodging, business license tax, total about $435 million of revenue to the city of Portland and Multnomah County every year. Just this side of 50% of our general fund is accounted through these systems that we are contemplating replacing. So we've reached a critical milestone in the project, and we are here before you today to gain your approval to issue an RFP to seek proposals from qualified vendors. And Rochelle is here to walk you through the PowerPoint and give you a little more information about that.
Hi, good morning. Is the PowerPoint available for them right now? Okay, great. Thank you. So a brief overview, just recapping some of the items that Thomas said about the integrated tax system. This is a new single tax system that is replacing a portfolio of legacy systems. They are soon expected to go out of support. Thus far, we have two roles, which were created by Council's approval of the 17-18 budget. The ITS project manager role, which is mine, as well as a business analyst, and we are working together to research the market, confirm our requirements, and pull this all together into a request for proposals from marketplace vendors. The ITS project, in terms of the magnitude of this project, we refer to this as a large-scale, multi-year modernization effort. So as Thomas said, we are handling over $400 million in annual revenue, as well as we have over 600,000 active taxpayer accounts that will be impacted by this core system replacement.
Will the Office of Community Technology, I noticed the asterisk saying yes, that includes the Office of Community Technology, will they also be part of the system regardless of where they end up in the city?
I'm going to defer to
that. We are exploring that right now. I think part of the answer lies in organizationally where OCT sits. OCT is currently using the city's EBS or SAP system for collections. And so right now we've had conversations about having this OCT programs in the RFP, but it remains to be seen whether or not ultimately they'll be implemented there.
Yeah, I guess for them and others it makes sense. If this is a new and improved version that's costing quite a lot of money, it would be good to have as many bureaus as possible have access to it. I'm sorry to interrupt your presentation.
Oh, no, please.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So in terms of the scope of this project, again, as we've referenced, there is the desire to replace a portfolio of multiple systems with one new single system. So the systems that we are talking about retiring as a part of this project, Bliss, Arts, Castle, which is our application for enhanced service districts, Regis, which is our application for business permitting and transient lodging, as well as what we call the Fatima application. That application does not do core tax administration work. However, it is the application that we use to manage federal taxpayer information. Now, in addition to these six core applications, we also have this myriad of smaller applications, which, although they don't do the core tax processing work, they handle data that supports that work, such as our mailroom application. This full universe of tax applications is currently supported by two individuals, and both of them are nearing retirement. When we started this project, just common sense told us that this timeline would be coming up soon. Now that we've gotten into this project a little bit, one of these people is going to be retiring in the next year, and the other one has signaled not too long after that he will also be looking at retirement. In the scope of this new system, not only are we replacing the existing functionality that we're able to do with our current applications, but we also hope to add on new functionality that will bring us to a more modernized customer service level. Two of those items, the first two on this list, e-filing. So right now, a City of Portland taxpayer can go to portlandoregon.gov and file a single return, and they can visit multiple times and each time file a single return. But we do not have the ability to submit your City of Portland tax return with common tax preparation software packages. So right now, if you're using one of those packages and you hit submit and you're filing your federal and your state return, you then have to either use paper or visit the Portland website to do the City of Portland return. Modernized e-filing is a specific term that means that we will be able to accept returns through that common tax preparation software package. We also hope to have a more modern taxpayer portal. right now, the City of Portland taxpayer does not have the ability to go to their portal and see a list of payments that they have made to the city or other common customer self-service functions. So we are hoping to bring that capability to the City of Portland taxpayer. We also hope to realize improved data analytic functions, as well as Thomas explained a lot about the FTI integration and how it is limited today. The six people that have access, we store the FTI in a locked room separate from the main operations of our floor. If we can bring that FTI data out onto our floor and into our daily operations, there are so many missed opportunities right now for collection of revenue that we would be able to realize. So with all of those items that I have just discussed, all those come together to bring us increased revenues to the City of Portland. Moving on to cost and schedule, I've explained to you a bit about the scope of the project. In terms of timing and price tag, we are currently expecting this project to be roughly $20 to $30 million. This figure is our all-in figure. It is the payment to the primary vendor. It is payment to supplemental vendors such as quality assurance, change management, those kinds of vendors, which we have not yet scoped, but we know that some of that will be on the horizon. It's our infrastructure, hardware, network costs. It is our staff ramp-up cost. This number was determined by talking to other jurisdictions. We've been interacting with them a lot at conferences or just reaching out by word of mouth in terms of, oh, they've just implemented the system. Why don't you go talk to them? So taking those data points of price tags from other jurisdictions and looking at their budgets, we extrapolated to this for our forecast for our budget. For schedule, we hope to receive your approval to issue the RFP this month, which would then result in a notice of intent to award approximately February of next calendar year. And if those fall into place, then depending on how long our contracting phase takes, we hope to actually begin the project in the summer of 2019 and move on to rolling out our business tax on the new platform in 2020, arts in 2021. And then the smaller taxes we have, they will either fit into one of those two releases or be in a third release, as well as any other enhancements. You might notice a lot of question marks around these dates, and that is because at this point, we're making our best guess, but when the vendor would actually come on site, one of their first deliverables we've requested in the RFP is that they produce that project plan, and so that is when we would have a lot more clarity on our committed timeline. Moving on to stakeholders. Now that I've described to you a little bit about what the parameters are for the project, I want to talk a bit about who stands to have a stake in this project. So the first three bullet points, I think, are fairly self-explanatory. They're the core members of the tax world, if you will, taxpayers as well as the exempt filers. So for instance, every single person who pays an arts tax will have their account migrated from the old system to the new system. If they pay online or if they file their exemption, they will be interacting with this new system. Tax preparers and CPAs, the professional community that supports the taxpayers, software vendors of common tax preparation packages, other stakeholders. I'm just going to read down them, but I'm happy to answer questions about them. City Council, any bureaus that benefit from the general fund, revenue employees, we're talking about profoundly changing the way that we do business in the revenue division. So this will be changing the nature of the work for several of our revenue employees, and that's why also we have the Labor Management Committee listed as one of our stakeholders. Technology Oversight Committee. I actually presented to the Technology Oversight Committee in September to introduce this project to them. They have our RFP right now. It is currently under their review. So they have already been introduced to this project, and we expect to be referred to them for oversight by the CTO. Additional parties such as Multnomah County or Travel Portland, other groups that we collect revenue for, obviously will be stakeholders of this. Arts Oversight Committee, short-term rental platforms such as Airbnb also will be interacting with this system. Any questions about the stakeholders? Okay, so moving on.
And I apologize to be rude. I'm going to have to leave council early, and I've got two emergency ones. So can you just hit the main bullet points?
Yes.
So that I can, because I have to be eager to vote for some of these. Great.
Sure.
Thank you.
So today's ask of council is that we are asking you to approve an authorizing ordinance allowing us to issue the RFP. We've talked about the risks that we have in terms of continuing as is with our limited resource pool. I'd also like to discuss briefly the reputation and integrity risk in terms of if our systems break at some point in the future, which we expect would happen with our current status quo, there will be a significant loss of public confidence, quality risk, making the decisions in a bad space, also a risk, and then, of course, lost revenue.
So you've made a very compelling case for this. Thomas, really quickly, how do we pay for it?
Well, we need to get the responses back from the RFP so we fully understand the timing of the ask. We don't anticipate the entire $20 to $30 million hitting in the first year. It'd be spread over multiple years. So in terms of the structure and the timing, we don't have that yet. It would be a general fund ask, but and then after that, how it's financed, we don't have that information yet. Okay. That would be a subsequent ask. So we're not asking the council to weigh in on the budget or the timing of that today.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Is there any public testimony on this item?
We have one person signed up, Charles Bridgegrain Johnson.
I'm going to shorten testimony to 2 minutes, please. Thank you. I won't do that to you ordinarily. I apologize.
No, it's understandable.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. Charles Bridgegrain Johnson for the record. And we're in touch with Harry. He didn't get to tell you about wonderful benefits-based funding options that might be available as we move to this. I was glad it was not in the two little pages of PDF, but it was good to see that the Technology Oversight Committee has been briefed and met. Even though I only have 2 minutes, I'm going to talk about how important this is. This fills our little matrix. We've now used every possible combination of CTO, TOC, and OCT on this project. So,
touche.
So, this is important. I think one thing that is, you know, sometimes large vendors, SAP, who we already deal with, are in there. So, as you personally interface with members of the Technology Oversight Committee and other tech workers, look for ways that this can be docked to certified professionals who may come from a less white, less male background, but have gotten the proper certifications to do this type of work on Oracle as subcontractors to SAP. Definitely we need to move this forward, although the end of support usually just means something else could be paid for a few more years, but that would not be a wise investment. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Carla, please call the roll.
You Daly?
Well, this is great. I encourage you not to let your software go out of support because that would be terrible. And I'm also happy to hear that it will include the arts tax. I personally have had some frustration trying to pay the arts tax online, and it doesn't seem to work across all kind of platforms. It's led to me having to pay fees, and I think it's probably fueling some of the frustration in the community around that tax, so I vote aye.
Fritz.
I don't often quote former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, but in this case, there is no alternative. So thank you for your work. Aye.
Fish?
Yeah, thanks for the presentation. You know, we had a work session yesterday when we looked at some of the future costs that we haven't budgeted for, and I don't remember this being on the PowerPoint, but I think it's important that you talk to Tom, our CAO, and make sure that this $20 to $30 million ask is in the grid, because we've asked for a specific roadmap for how we can budget for all of the known costs that are going to be hitting the general fund over the next 5 years. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you. Aye.
Wheeler.
Yeah, this is super critical, and I appreciate the hard work you're putting into this to get all the pieces in order. It's daunting, it's large, it's complex. And as Commissioner Fritz just noted, it's absolutely necessary. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item.